John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Two rounds down and the bubble is down to eight teams. We'll review our picks from the first round and make some new ones because we never learn our lesson. Our guest tonight is the longtime voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who just finished his career with the Bolts, retiring after 42 years of broadcasting hockey, the last 24 with the Lightning. As a matter of fact, I think he called some games with a familiar name on this show as well. Zach, he called a few of your games, I think.
Yeah, and it was really awesome.
It is all brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee. Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Go to their website. They got a great sale going on right now. And our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville. Three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee with 20% off store-wide through Labor Day. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Carter Church with Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson, and, of course, the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Coach, of course, is joining us from his undisclosed location.
I'm in the basement. I'm not coming out.
Okay.
He's back in the bunker.
That's it. So, and Zach, of course, back in the studio here in the Palatial Wholesale Incorporated Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com here at 102.5 The Game. And, boys, it's a shame. Yeah, I know the Preds are done, but we really don't have anything to talk about. We're going to talk about our picks. And let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the Predators right now, because interesting discussions going on all over the place. And news breaks yesterday that Elli Tolvanen placed on loan to Jokerit in the KHL. Coach, I'm curious. I mean, ice time is ice time, but is there a concern with him, you know, playing on the bigger ice surface?
I don't think so. I think it's just a chance that because we got beat out so early in this, and there's lots of time before training camp, that he has still a chance to play or even practice with him over there. And he in order to practice with him, we have to loan him to him because he's our property here in Nashville. But I just think it's a chance for him to get some more ice time and get playing with men. And still playing with men. He's still a young kid, and he's every time I talk to Rick, Scotty Nicholas, he says he'll be ready. He'll be there someday. He's still young, but he's got to be there next year, I think, for him to do well. But I think it's just a chance for him to go back and play with his old KHL team in Finland there, and he'll do really well, and he'll come back here and be a good player for us in the future.
Now, interesting, Zach, you know, on the show right before us on Preds Insider, Chase McCabe did make a rather, you know, large deal of a youth movement on this team. And you know, I'm sorry, but the retirement of Dan Hamhuis already brought the median age down. So I no offense, Dan, we love you. But I mean, you know, at this point, it's hard to argue with that.
No, I think it's time. I think if you trust the job that your scouting department and your drafting team has done, then it's time to see what they've got. As far as Elli Tolvanen goes, Elli Tolvanen hasn't played a meaningful hockey game in 6 months. And if he wasn't loaned to Jokerit, then it would have been 9 before he had a chance to play any meaningful hockey. And if you're expecting this kid to actually contribute in any meaningful fashion, he does need to actually go out and play the game of hockey. hockey. So I think, you know, a lot of people were wondering, ooh, I don't know. And I had those same reservations about going back after them making such a big deal about getting time on North American ice. I think at this point, just any ice time is good ice time right now for Elli Tolvanen. And the team has already come out and said that he will still have every chance to make this opening night roster.
And the interesting piece that I look at as well, you know, it's interesting, but this is a player that has played well in the KHL, has at times looked dominant in the KHL. I wonder if this is a way, and Coach, I'm going to, Brent, I really want to get your take on this. Is this a way for the Predators to rebuild rebuild this player's offensive confidence after really spending a lot of time developing the whole player? Is this you think this might help in bringing the sniper back out in Elli Tolvanen a little bit?
Well, I think that's probably the plan, and they hope it works. And sometimes you go back and you don't do as well as you did before. But he's a very good player, and he's a very smart player, and he's played 2 years, 3 years down in Milwaukee. Now he's stayed over here and played in a smaller ice surface. Now, like Zach said, right now they just need to get him ice time. Any kind of ice time is good, as long as he's scoring goals and doing the things he wants to do and needs to do. But I just think that, like you said, David and John were in a press conference the other day. They said they have to get younger. And when you get younger, you usually get faster, and then you have more of an identity. Our team was sort of in between identities. We didn't know whether we were a scoring team, a defensive team, a rush team. What kind of team were we? And we were really stuck this year, and it got to be kind of out of hand. So we have to get younger, and we have to get faster.
You know,
and we have to get a little bit more rugged, so you have to have some small, bigger guys on their team. But we got lots of good players. And not only has Tolvanen played good in the KHL, but we got good players that played in Milwaukee and played very well, did very well, and they should have a good chance to make our team next year.
You know, maybe it's the fact that I spent most of the weekend watching superhero and Batman movies, but I think the trust that this shows in Elli Tolvanen saying, hey, we're going to let you go outside the organization, go make your own way in the KHL for a few months, prove what you got and what you learned here out in that league, and then come back and tear it up. It almost feels kind of like that journeyman process.
I love the idea. And again, you look at, you're able to evaluate what's going on. You're able to evaluate how he's doing, what he's doing, where he's doing. And
gives you a comparison point to how he was back when he first played in the K and what's his game now.
It's going to be a fascinating opportunity for the young player. There's no question about that. I don't know if I'm quite as down on Elli Tolvanen as our friends on Preds Insider were. There's kind of like a real Fisher cut bait. I think he's still, what, 20?
Yeah, I mean,
he's still 21 years old.
21.
And he's still
like 3 years already. He's going to be fine.
Well, he was brought in as such a steal at 29th or 30th that he was picked that everyone was like, oh, here comes the next coming of, you know, insert number one draft pick here. But that's just not the case. I mean, he's right on the timeline, and it's still looking good for Elli Tolvanen.
So the interesting – go ahead. I'm sorry, Coach. Go ahead.
You're exactly right, Zach. That's exactly how I feel.
So we look at this Nashville Predators team, a little bit of news there. Really big news coming out of our nation's capital, and I'm sorry, but you got to wonder if that organization is saying, oh my gosh, why did we get rid of Barry Trotz? Because quite frankly, Trotz put on a coaching clinic as the New York Islanders completely dismantled a better Washington Capitals team. But I really look at one of the biggest differences here. Brent, was Barry Trotz behind the bench? I mean, I don't know of a game where I think Todd Reirden even came close to the coaching job that Barry Trotz did in that last series.
Yeah, I imagine Barry had a smile inside of, you know, he would never mock anybody, but he had a big smile on his face.
He had to have a big cheese-eating grin inside. Good Lord, that had to feel good.
Well, I'll ask the both of you this. Do you think that if it is any other team other than Barry Trotz's New York Islanders, because I believe this to my core, that if it was any other team, Todd Reirden is still the coach of the Washington Capitals?
This one just smacks of, and I'm going to say it because he's shown himself to do this. This smacks of an owner going, oh, you just, you know, lose to anybody else, but losing to him?
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with that, Zach. And you know, again, we're looking at it from outside coach? Do you think that kind of stuff is possible?
You know what? You know what? I think the owner wasn't in on it. He was in on hiring Barry, and he wasn't in on firing him, Barry, because he was in on the, you know, hiring Barry. They didn't have a GM then. Then they made McClellan GM after.
That's right.
And he brought Reardon in, and then Trotsky was able to take Lane Lambert with him, and then they added the guy from that was still there. So it was all that Barry got hired by the owner of the team. Right after we got beat out that year, Trotsky was in, or right after they got beat out that year, Trotsky was in Washington signing a contract and was with the owners because they had no general manager. Then they had the general manager, and Trotsky wasn't the general manager's guy. And that's what happened at Barry in Washington.
Fascinating stuff. And the interesting, go ahead.
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre what happened. And then Barry wins the Stanley Cup, and they win the Stanley Cup. And you never heard of a coach. Other than there was one coach, a Montreal coach, that did win the Stanley Cup and got fired or got let go that summer. And that's the only time I can remember it happened in all these years of NHL. The guy that wins the Stanley Cup loses his job. But that doesn't usually happen too often.
You know, the interesting piece is because I hadn't watched this yet. I finally watched The Last Dance. And this just reminds me of Jerry Krause, something fierce.
Well, you think of owners and Ted Leonsis and hands off don't exactly go hand in hand.
You know, so. Well, I think it's a tradition in Washington when it comes to that because you look at the football team and it's the same way.
I mean, and Kelly McCrimmon's a good GM. I might be wrong there, isn't he? No, he might be the Vegas GM, but
he is the Vegas GM. Oh, yes, I'm and not, he is a good GM. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, he's crushing it.
But when you look at this and go, you know, it's an interesting point that you brought up, Coach, by saying that, you know, that the GM, who wasn't the GM's hire, you're absolutely right, but good heavens. You know, and I mean, and you can give all the, well, we offered him a contract and he just didn't want it. It was insulting and they knew he wouldn't take it.
I just think this is kind of unfair to Todd Reardon.
It is. I think it is, too. I don't believe Todd Reardon's that great of a coach, to be brutally honest. At least he hasn't shown it here. I've seen him regularly outcoached. I mean, let's face it. You know, toss the puck out there with that team, and they're going to be in contention for the division title.
Yeah, but at the same time, there are only two other teams in the NHL who have more wins than him over the past 2 years. I mean, sure, there is a lot of talent on that roster, but, I mean, it's not like they're playing shinny out there. There was a distinct change in system between Barry Trotz
and
Todd Reardon.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, they got pretty brutal draws for the last 2 years, too, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, you know, they lost to Columbus, no,
Carolina last year.
And then this year they lost to the Islanders, and the Islanders just were the worst team for Washington to get. So only Burton probably, when he looked at that the next morning when he got up, said, "Oh, we got to play the Islanders. Oh, I can't. Yeah. I can't win. I can't win because if I win, we're better than them. If I lose, I'm a bum." So,
that's true.
He probably just couldn't believe that he got the Islanders because Barry had everything going for him because. If Barry won, he was underdog, and he put him through it. And if they lost, they were supposed to lose to Washington, just because Washington's such a star-studded team. But it's just I'm very happy for Barry, and I just watched the first period, and they're all over the Flyers.
Oh, they are, no question. They are absolutely all over them.
Barry's teams just play together. They play good defense. They have good goaltending, and they play hard. And it was good to see that they won the game, and now or won the series. And Todd Reardon was a. Him and Trotsky were okay together until the last month, 2 months. And did you see the handshakes at the end of the year, at the end of the game? Barely even looked at each other when they shook hands.
Yeah, that was.
And there were a lot of players that waited for Barry in line just to have a little more chat with just a handshake, and it was pretty cool.
How could you not? I mean, how could you not? All right, we're on Slapshot Radio right here on ESPN 102.5. The game, by the way, program note. Beginning next week, Slapshot Radio back in its old-time slot. We're moving back to Wednesday nights, stepping aside for the Joe Fisher Show, starting next Monday at 7 p.m. All things Vanderbilt right here on 102.5 The Game. And we're back on Wednesday at 7 p.m. next week. And you know who's back? They've been with us since day one of the show. You know they're back. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. I'm telling you what, dynamite staff, great environment, safe. I'm telling you, they've really done it right. I've had some work done. I know Zach is heading over there next week to get his annual checkup. I'm telling you what, They have everything you need to get your dental needs taken care of. All the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, even sedation dentistry. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com or call them for an appointment at 872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We Brighten Smiles. Nice call, Max. Max on the Wheels of Steel on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you. And I tell you what, we've had him on Slapshot Radio before. We've had to have him on one more time. After seven seasons with the Rochester Amherst of the AHL, 11 seasons with the Hartford Whalers, calling a certain forward by the name of Brent Peterson in a couple of those seasons, and 24 with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Rick Peckham has decided to hang him up. And doggone it, Rick, why are you doing that? I mean, you're at the top of your game, brother. Welcome to Slapshot Radio, Rick. We're glad to have you back.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it, Paul. Guys, good to talk to you again. Petey, how's it going?
Doing good.
All right. Yeah, it's just gotten to a point where I think, as you just described, 42 years, it's time to get off the road. And I'm sure Brent can tell you all about that, those late nights unpacking in hotels and trips like that. And the schedule keeps getting a little tighter every year. And it just seemed like, you know what, I think we ought to step aside at this point. So that's pretty much the crux of the decision right there.
Well, Rick, I know I've certainly been listening to you for years, doing that, and just an amazing job with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you know, you were there at the very beginning. I mean, you even had to deal with Terry Crisp, for heaven's sakes, didn't you?
I did. I really enjoyed the time with Crispy. It was a barrel of laughs, never a dull moment, and just one of my favorite people that I've come across in all those years. And you know, you talk about what the memories are going to be like. It's going to be much more a case of remembering people than games. The games are great. I mean, that's why we're all in the business, right? Every game is different, and you can't predict the outcome. But it's the stories really develop more from the people that you've known and worked with. And, you know, sometimes you come across people that maybe in two different spots. That's happened to me in terms of Hartford and Tampa. Mikael Anderson comes to mind there, and players like that and people like that. Jerry Helper, certainly knowing him, he was the PR director in Buffalo when I was in the same role in broadcasting in Rochester. And, of course, he was part of that original executive group in Tampa Bay and brought me to the Lightning in the first place, and then he left to help start the Predators. So, you know, it's the people that you really take with you when you leave this job.
We're on the line with the very, very recently retired Rick Peckham, the voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Coach, how about a question for the guy that used to call your games?
Yeah, he used to call my games, all right. There's Peterson sitting on the bench over there, and there's
no, we not quite. You were killing penalties.
You had a great career, and you've been a top-notch guy in the league for a lot of years. What was your favorite memory, other than, you know, it could have been the Stanley Cup win with the Tampa Bay? But is there one defining moment or one moment that you remember all the time?
Well, Brent, really going back to Rochester, we won the Calder Cup with a great team in 1983, and it happened to be the year that I met my wife Vicky in Rochester. So that's a favorite year for me. In Hartford, I think it would be the first playoff series they won in that playoff year. They beat Quebec and then lost in a seventh-game thriller in overtime at the Montreal Forum to the Canadiens. And really, that was the year Canadiens won it in 86, and I think a lot of people around the Whalers felt, boy, that could have been them. And then with Tampa Bay, certainly that Stanley Cup run, John Tortorella coaching that whole era. They started to come together the year before in 2003, and then 2003 and 4, some tremendous series, and it was just a fun deal to be around all those guys and to see them even now, as a lot of them have relocated back in the Bay Area. So those would be the top ones.
We're on the line on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game with Rick Peckham. Zach?
Well, boy, Rick, you know, you certainly got your work cut out for you this year when you were calling these games, you know, that were in, taking place in the bubble. What was it like to call that ridiculous marathon that took place between the Jackets and the Lightning in Game 1 going, what was it, between 70 and 80 overtimes, roughly between those?
Something like that. Yeah, I believe so. But, you know, if we were in normal circumstances and the crowd, obviously you'd have a full building just full of noise and excitement with the ebbs and flows of the game, I think my voice would have been completely worn out. But under the circumstances, in a controlled environment where we were in Amalie Arena, Brian Engblom, my partner, in one booth, and I was in the other booth next to him, and just calling the game off the monitor, it wasn't nearly as taxing as it should have been for a game that lasted 150 minutes. But it was certainly a challenge, and I'd forgotten how quickly overtimes go because there's very few whistles and there's no commercial breaks, and you got the 15-minute intermission. It seems like you get a break and you're turning around and starting the next overtime. Well, we certainly got reminded about that and then some with all the overtimes in that game. It was something where we started at, I think 3:07 was puck drop, and we ended at 9:22 p.m. So it was over 6 hours of hockey.
Always fun to watch, that's for sure, Rick. You know, the interesting piece, I'd like to turn our attention now to this year's Lightning, and as they proceed, obviously, as the TV play-by-play guy, unfortunately, you know, you're done as far as that goes. And I still say, I'm going to say it right now, Rick, and you're going to be allowed to agree with me at this point, but wouldn't it be great if they utilized the secondary audio program and used the home announcers for the network feed? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be. You know, I think everybody in my position, and Pete Weber was in that spot when
yes.
he was doing TV with Crispy and Stu Grimson and so forth before Pete, you know, moved to radio, to where you just yearn for those days where it was the Rangers Stanley Cup win in 94 when Sam Rose and John Davidson yeah. were doing the games for MSG Network, and ESPN had the national rights, and nobody in the Northeast was watching ESPN. They were all watching the MSG show, and I think that's when the rights turned over to Fox, and between Fox and Commissioner Gary Bettman, they decided they better take the NBA approach in protecting the national rights holder a little bit more and giving them more in terms of coverage and so forth. And I think we had a couple of rounds until the big lockout, and coming out of that, we got down to one round, and that's been it ever since. Right now, we're just doing a morning show that's carried. It's streamed on the website for the team as well as on Fox Sports Sun, our network, in the morning, and then repeated before the game, and then we do post-game coverage. The Chief Bobby Taylor's with me, Brian Engblom, Dave Andrechuk, and we've had some special guests on as well. So we just started with a post-game, obviously last night, but yeah. Game 1 against Boston.
So turning attention to the hockey, you know, what do the Lightning have to do? Because Boston kind of pushed them around a little bit last night. What do you think the adjustments are going to be? John Cooper's going to make for Game 2?
I think, and certainly you guys remember just how devastating that sweep was. The Lightning felt at the hands of Columbus last year after that record-setting season.
Yep.
And in a week's time, they're out of the playoffs. And I think that they'd been reminded of that all season long. They themselves, I'm sure, were focused very much on getting a second crack at Columbus. And they got it. And they won that series in five games, all very tight games. But I think they exhaled a bit going into the game last night against the Bruins. They know the Bruins well. They're fully aware of how difficult an opponent they're going to be. But I just think that they just exhaled a little bit too much after that win over Columbus. It was such an emotional win for the team that I think they're by that. I think the second half of the game they played much more to the capabilities that they have. And I was just watching the NBC coverage, and I think it was maybe Patrick Sharp who made the comment, had that game gone another 10 minutes, they might have won it. So they were coming on, so I think they've made some of the adjustments. We'll see if they can get off to a better start. That's been a problem, even in the Columbus series, and it was a huge problem last night.
Well, Rick, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. And on behalf of all of us here in Smashville, know that you will be missed. But please enjoy you and your lovely wife. Enjoy your kids and grandkids. And you know what? We appreciate the 42 years that you've given to this sport.
Well, thanks, Paul, Zach, and Brent. Appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on your show tonight and all the nice words. It's something where we're going to do some traveling. I'm sure Nashville's going to be on our list. It's on everybody else's list. It's got to be on ours.
Very true.
So we'll be stopping by, but thanks again.
All righty. Rick Peckham, just retiring the voice of the Tampa Bay Lightning after 42 years in broadcasting. Really a great guy and, man, a really, really great play-by-play announcer. All righty. We will be back. We've got to review our rather interesting picks for the first round, make our picks for the second round, and we got a few other things that we need to chat about as well, including Nashville's favorite national broadcaster analyst. We're going to have a little discussion about that as well. Right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, Slapshot Radio. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can never go wrong with a little Tears for Fears, that's for sure. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brent Peterson from his undisclosed location, the secure bunker located somewhere in Bellmead, I think. I'm not sure. It kind of moves around some places. Anyway, you know what? It's time. It really is time. We've got to, you know what, guys, I'm not avoiding it. We got to look at our
We did
selections.
Not do that bad this time.
You know
we did
what?
Way better than last time.
Well, we did better than the qualifying round. That's for darn sure. So let's see. As we look at it, so when you look at all of this, hold on, I
got
to pull it up. You sent
it.
There it is. Okay. So, all right. When you look at, let's see, Zach, Brent, and Paul all called Philly. One of these idiots called Columbus over Tampa. I mean, good Lord, I can't believe that one. Yeah, that was me. I know. Zach, the only one to call the New York Islanders.
I mean, I was also the only one to call Chicago or Vegas. And that
I was going to go there next, but all three of us.
Alone.
Yeah, really. All three of us whiffed on Carolina. I expected that one. It was interesting.
Well, honestly, the most fascinating story out of that series was Tuukka Rask leaving the bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, hey, you know, family comes first, and
absolutely.
Anyone who was blasting him, I mean, I hope they felt as dumb as they were when the news came out about a family emergency taking place
yeah.
with that. So.
I mean, that just gets a little bit ridiculous. And, mm-hmm. and it is interesting when you're starting to talk about this, the bubble's starting to get a little bit old.
Yeah.
For these players.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm sorry. Pete DeBoer had the quote of the tournament so far by saying, you know, there's all the hockey you could watch and all the beer you could drink. What more could you want?
I mean, I'll be honest. I've missed the daytime hockey over the last couple of days.
Absolutely.
That's for darn sure. I've actually had to, like, concentrate on work. Only kidding, boss. Mm-hmm. Only kidding.
Nope.
All right. So, yeah, you were the only one that called Chicago. Wrong.
Yep.
All three of us called Colorado. Zach called Calgary, I called Calgary, and Brent was absolutely correct on Dallas. And let's see here. Who said St. Louis wasn't going to get through? Oh, my heavens. I think it was the coach himself.
No. That was you who called Vancouver.
Did I call Vancouver?
Coach and I called St. Louis.
That's right. I did call Vancouver. Well, how about that? So in that first round, Zach and I went 4-4. Coach goes 5-3 on his picks.
Well, that's why we just play analysts, and he did the thing. So
yeah, no kidding. So let's talk about this now. We've got, you know, things are going, so we kind of get a little bit of an advantage now of
I made my picks beforehand, and I'm sticking to them, even though I want to change one of them.
All right. Well, let's stick to those picks right now. So if you're looking at, all these series have gotten started, especially with the Islanders and Philly going right now. Let's call the Islanders and Philly right now. Brent, what do you think? Philly, New York, who's going to take this one?
I think the Islanders are going to take this one because they forecheck like Montreal. Montreal got to their defense and they got them upset, and they still won the series, but Montreal got to them, and I think the Islanders will get to them again too. So I pick the Islanders.
Zach?
Islanders in six.
Completely with my heart here, Philly in seven.
You know, and I'm kind of half-hearted on that, if you want to call it that. I think Carter Hart is still the difference maker here.
Yep.
Carter Hart stole that Montreal series. He's got the capability of doing it now. I mean, there's a reason why this game right now is only 1-0. It's Carter Hart.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Philly in seven. I don't know why, other than, yeah, perhaps I grew up in the area. Okay. let's keep going in the East. The other one, Boston and Tampa Bay. Boston with a 1-0 lead. Zach, what do you think on that one?
You know, I said Tampa in six initially.
You want to change that now, don't you?
I want to, but I'm not going to. Even though Yaroslav Halak has really looked excellent coming in for Tuukka Rask, I think he's playing some excellent hockey right now. But I still think this Tampa team is just too deep to go down at this rate, though Boston is certainly reaffirming their status as buzzsaw that they were back in the regular season.
No question. Coach, what do you think on Boston-Tampa?
I think Boston's a good team, but I just think Tampa's going to lots of players that can play every night. So I just think they're going to win in six. Tampa Bay in six.
Ooh, I kind of like that call because I'm sticking with Tampa myself. I think they are going to come back. I think Halak has been on. You wonder how long can the chip on the shoulder last. And it could last the entire series. It could last the entire playoffs. You don't know. But I just feel like Tampa is that team. I think they tie it up tomorrow night, and I think they win it in seven.
Mm.
So let's move to the West now. A Central Division showdown that Dallas leads after winning yesterday. Dallas and Colorado. They're going to have game two tonight. And Dallas leads 1-0. Coach, who are you picking in that one?
I'm going to go with the Colorado in seven.
Ooh, good call. Good call.
You know,
I just think that they'll come back and win. Dallas is a good team. They're playing great hockey right now. They almost, you know, they put St. Louis out last year almost. St. Louis got them in game seven, and they beat us in six. So I just think that this year they're Colorado just they have so many deep team. And even though they got a few injuries going on right now, I think Colorado will come back and win it in five.
So good.
I said seven, sorry.
Colorado in seven. Okay, Zach?
Yeah.
This is the one I wanted to change because I had Colorado in five on this one.
Yikes!
And the injuries to Philip Grubauer and Eric Johnson, them both being out for an indefinite amount of time, are frankly devastating. Even though I like Pavel Francois as a goaltender, I don't like him as much as Grubauer.
Yeah,
never been there, so that's right too.
Well, Bennington wasn't there last year either.
He wasn't there this year either.
Oh, yes, I love that.
I smelled blood.
There it is. That's the first St. Louis reference. We stayed away from it for 38 minutes,
and they stayed away from the game for most of it too.
Double slam.
Oh, man.
As I put on Twitter, the only fun part of when your team is out is watching the other teams you hate lose, too. So
it's true. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I feel like Dallas is just playing a complete game right now. I think both goaltenders have been playing well throughout not only the round robin, but throughout the first – I just think Dallas has got something going right now. I think they've got the right coach. I think he's doing the right things with the team. I'm going to say Dallas in six.
Oof. Wow, the disrespect to Nathan MacKinnon is just off the charts right here.
This is a team game.
Yep.
It's the ultimate team game. So I'm going to get started on the last one, Vancouver and Vegas. Vegas leads 1-0. I don't care. I'm going to call Vancouver in six. I like the game they're playing, and I think game one had a lot of I'm just glad to be here. Give Vegas full credit. They completely dismantled the Canucks. They completely bottled up all of the Canucks' weapons. Call it a funny feeling, call it crazy, just don't call me late for dinner. I'm saying Vancouver in six. Zach?
I'm going to call it wrong. Really, really, really wrong, that opinion.
Okay, Mr. Mr. Chicago's going to win. Okay, yes.
I'm sorry. This Vegas team is one of the most complete teams we've seen in the playoffs in a long time. I called this one just because the devil hates a coward. Vegas in a sweep, and I'm feeling better about that after last night's performance. I think Vegas is going to just demolish the Canucks. I'm probably going to say Vegas in five, but, you know, what the heck. Screw it. Sweep.
Okay. Vegas sweep. Coach, what do you think? Vegas and Vancouver.
I think Vegas will win in five, and Vancouver does have – they had a lot of – just happy to be there last night, and they'll try hard, and they'll give them some good games, but they're just not deep enough. They're not experienced enough, and, you know, that Vegas team's been put together awful fast, and they've done a great job with it, and they are good. They can score. They can play defense. They can do anything. They got two good goalies. Two great goalies, in fact. Lerner's playing great, and Fleury has to just sit by the wayside. He might get in once in a while, but I don't know. It's a pretty good team they got there. So I got Vegas in five.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly understand. I get the picks. I sure do. But you know what? Again, call it a funny feeling, but you know, when you've got an agent throwing out rather interesting tweets.
Boy, that was something.
Alan Walsh put out a tweet over the weekend basically depicting, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights stabbing Marc-Andre Fleury in the back.
Yes, I believe it was a sword with Peter DeBoer's name engraved upon the blade. Which, boy, even for me, that's some nerdy stuff right there. I think the most fascinating thing about this is how long the tweet was up. The fact that it was up for an entire day. And if Marc-Andre Fleury didn't want that to be known and known for a while, it would have been down in 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. I think it would never have been posted.
Yep.
Agents represent their players. I don't know how often an agent will go off on their own, especially in the middle of a playoff season, a series. It points to something interesting. I don't know if it points to anything weird going on in the Vegas locker room, but you can't, as a coach, Petey, you can't like seeing something like that come out from your, 1B goaltender.
Especially when he said all the right things at the press conference, saying that, you know, it was the coach's choice and he chose the other guy and I'll be there for the team if they win and this and that. He said those things. And if you left it up all day or you even had it out there that you were upset, and then you said, and you had your agent said, I'll take the heat for this, and he put it in his name. But that's the agent works for you, and you've got to tell him what to do and when to do it. And you're still the boss when you're in the NHL. And you have an agent, and you tell him what to do. He's you're his boss, and he's got to do what you want to do. And that shouldn't even been put up, and it's going to cause all kinds of. No, it won't hurt their team play because they'll still play hard and everything, and they got a good team. But it's still, you don't need any of that stuff. You don't need any distractions at this time. So
interesting though. Second straight team you've seen this happen with Peter DeBoer. Mm-hmm. You saw it happen in San Jose.
Yep.
Now you're seeing it happen in Vegas. You know, I mean, one swallow doesn't make a spring, but. It does make you wonder.
It is one way for coaches to kind of, it feels like, assert their control over a team is to take a well-known face of the franchise and then start a guy behind him. And if I'm talking in gated terms, there's a reason, because we're also kind of seeing it in Nashville with, you know, John Hines starting UC Saros over Pecorine. And my wild take, because why not, I believe that Marc-Andre Fleury will be playing for the Carolina Hurricanes next year.
Yeah, you never know. It's going to be interesting. We're up against a break. Are we up against a break or am I early? Yeah. I think I'm actually early. Max had a heart attack back there. He's like, oh, my gosh, he's early. What the heck is going on? Actually, I'm late. 2 minutes. Max, I'm there. I'm sorry.
We've done this before.
It's first time doing this show, you know? Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game, one of our best sponsors. Oh, Carter Church with Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. I'm telling you, the man knows real estate. He knows how to get your home sold. He knows how to find you the right home for the right price. You know, I've gotten to know him as we've worked together with the Predators. I'm telling you, this guy knows his stuff. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church, your real estate expert. If you're buying or if you're selling, you got to call Carter. We'll be right back right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. I'm wondering if Max is sending a message with this one. I'm not sure. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game, Nashville's best sports talk. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you here. And you know what? We've avoided it. Well, not really. We had other things to talk about. And, you know, honestly, he belongs in the last segment. I did say that. it appears that, you know, NBC gave Mike Milbury a way out.
Oh, Zach. Yeah. The other shoe has finally dropped for Mike Milbury.
Oh, you've been waiting all show to say that.
What can I say? I've had a loaded gun for it all the time.
Yes. You know, if you hadn't heard some of the rather, you know, Milbury has been a little bit, or as he put it, what does he say? Put it.
Irreverent.
I was trying to be irreverent.
He nailed it on that part.
He was being an idiot. Well, I'm sorry. Some of the things that he was saying in this, not only this one about, you know, they should be used to playing in front of nobody, their women's hockey. I mean, all of this stuff that he kept going. It's kind of like, you know, are you completely tone deaf, Mike? I mean, completely.
It felt like he was just asking for it the whole time, and it's a matter of hockey can do better. There are extremely intelligent people out there who know the game, who have a grace about them, and who aren't really just utter buffoons like Mark Milbury is. This guy was a terrible GM. He wasn't a good coach, and I'm not sure why we should be surprised that he's failed at everything else in his career, and he's failing at this too.
I really hate when you count, you know, when you really sugarcoat things, Zach.
I mean, it's frustrating to hear that, because not only was it extremely reductionist on the role of women, not only, you know, as people, which is bad enough, but even in hockey. Like, I mean, most of our bosses at the Predators are women. Fantastic people, know the game, have a bunch of knowledge with that. And not only that, you run into a situation like this where it's misogynistic, it's everything you can imagine, and it boils them down to just the fact of, oh, they're just a distraction. And it's like, dude, it is not the 1950s.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a shame, because it's funny, because when he first came in, before he decided to try and become the American Don Cherry and fail miserably at it, this is a guy that does actually know the game and can break it down fairly well. I've heard it. But, Coach, I mean, you got to be aware of your audience.
Yeah, you know, 10, 15 years ago, nothing would have been said about it. But nowadays, you can't say anything derogatory about anybody, and you got to be careful what you say. And these guys have a platform where they're now nationally watched by the, you know, NBC, and they just have to watch what they say. And he was very, very, you know, I was waiting him for step on his lip one another time too, or step on his tongue, whatever you want to say it. he just always thought he could get away with it. Maybe thought he could just say anything he wanted to, and you can't do that anymore. You have to be very cautious. And maybe 10 years ago or 20 years ago, you said something like that, nobody even made up anything about it.
You're right.
Today is a different story. Things are going on in the world. Things are going on in the USA, and things are, and women and everybody else are getting a lot more. They're getting active, and they're not putting up with it anymore. So it's a good thing that they got released him. He's been stepping on his tongue for a long time. Some of the other things he said. It's about time they got rid of him.
He was able to pull his foot out of his mouth. Of course, having the shoe off helped,
yeah,
too.
Well, yeah. I think for my part, though, you know, the only thing I'll challenge about that, Coach, is that I don't think it's even a case of watching what you say. I think it's just a matter of it's what you believe. This is more revealing than anything else, that if that's what you think of that, then you hate being someone who's related to that, and I hate being a fellow member of the human race like that. I mean, hey, we have all made off-color remarks. We've all been there. I'm not sitting here pretending to be some choir boy. But at the same time, when you have that kind of platform, you have a responsibility.
That's true.
And when you say things like that, you are abdicating that responsibility. And it's important because that is where people learn the game. I learned the game from Terry Crisp and Pete Weber, two great gentlemen. And, you know, you have people who are going to emulate the announcers that they listen to, who they learn the game from. And when they think that that's okay, that just begets more and more of this unacceptable behavior.
Hard to decide.
Well, you're right. And just things that you really believe, you do say. And that's what I'm saying. Got to watch what he says. If he believeves it and he doesn't say it, he's okay.
Got to be better at hiding it.
But you know what? He does believe it because he said it, and that's why he's gone. But, you know, guy, there's so many good people in this game, like Rick Peckham and James Strader, who died of cancer a couple years ago, and all these people that they're just great, great people that you know, the Crispy and Petey and the people we see around the league are just terrific people that come in and see us every year at Bridgestone, and we could celebrate those kind of people instead of guys like Milbury.
100%. And this is the second time we've had this happen recently, too. Yeah. Jeremy Roenick was recently let go because of comments he made on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. It's becoming a problem.
Well, and again, here's the thing. Being aware of your audience at all times. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, Roenick is, Roenick is a little bit of a different situation because it was a smaller thing that, you know, I mean, and unfortunately people don't realize that podcasts are as big as they are.
Well, that,
and Spittin' Chicklets is listened to a lot.
Huge, but at the same time, it's like, you know what, if you're going to be introduced as Jeremy Roenick of NBC Sports, then you are speaking for NBC Sports no matter where you are.
No question about that. And,
you're
and
right there.
Yeah, the interesting piece, though, is when you look at what's been going on here, I mean, you know, you look at some of the guys that they already have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm sorry, I love Pierre Aguirre to death. Mm-hmm. You know, he drives me nuts at times. However, I'll take him every day and twice on Sunday. I'll take Brian Boucher every day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah. I'll take Kevin Weeks. I'll take Anson Carter. I'll take Catherine Tappan. I'll take, you know, the movements that they've made. Patrick Sharp, I think is a great addition.
Yes.
You know, there are some really, really talented broadcasters, and especially, I mean, like, and there's a frequent guest on Slapshot Radio, but I mean, like, John Forsland as a play-by-play man, just excellent. I mean, you look at the talent that's there, and there's just, we can do better than, like, Milbury.
Kenny Albert.
Yeah, Kenny Albert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the good.
You guys notice who took his spot tonight on the broadcast?
No, who?
Keith Jones took his spot. He knows Philly because he does Philly games. But Keith Jones is a great guy. He got wound up when Milbury used to bait him last year and the year before. So he's an excellent person.
Oh, and you know, and again, there are, you know, you look at some of these analysts that are available.
Mm-hmm.
You look at some of these ones that, you know, and again, you look at almost every team has one solid analyst. You look at, you know, I mean, Rick Peckham mentioned Bobby Taylor with the Lightning. Outstanding analyst, also the author of one of the most politically incorrect segments in Slapshot Radio's history with Terry Crisp. But you know, speaking of that, but it's good that it happened. NBC gave him the opportunity to bow out semi gracefully, and you know, the forced apology is what it is at this point. So, and unfortunately, you have gone ahead and blown another hour listening to Slapshot Radio, and God love you. We love you for it. Vic, thanks for joining us tonight. We're back next week. Remember, Wednesday night now through the end of this crazy 2020 hockey season. Next Wednesday at 7 p.m. A big thank you to Rick Peckham joining us for tonight's show. And, of course, big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, and good old Carter Church from Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Max, our co-host, Brent Peterson, and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying see you next Wednesday night. Good night and good hockey.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.